Filippo Pingo is a celebrated Oroville architect who came to Oroville in 1968 for its inauguration as the German delegate. In this interview, we discuss his passion for archaeology, which he considers intrinsically linked to architecture. Popo tells us about how this passion was realized in Oroville. He talks about his findings and the challenges he faced while excavating. Additionally, he talks of the archaeological park he established recently.
I would say in my childhood, yeah. With the age of four, I started already in my own way. Nobody told me anything.
Okay, what was this song like? How did you teach us in that age of four?
You don't know that you're teaching yourself by learning. When you go in any school as a kid, you're not aware that you're learning from that. When you meet people, you take it for granted that the people talk to you, or you go into an environment, where you feel attracted to, and you are not aware of that you are attracted to, you simply do it.
Without questioning why.
Without questioning why, and it's the best teaching from the environment. And if there are people supporting it on top of it, it would be very good. See, for example, in the environment, I was born in a village, medieval village, and many years ago they didn't have the ecological awareness like we have today. So the whole village dumped everything into an old sand quarry half a kilometer away from the village where they took sand before. There was still a totally rusted excavator, and people dumped everything inside, and there was no sense for antiquity. But they had a sense of fashion, either in clothing fashion or how to put things in a room, how do you furnish your room. When it was out of fashion, they threw antiques in that pit.
Oh God.
What else? And I noticed, And when I took out, I must have been 6, 7, when I brought things, old electrical switchboard, for example, my mother said, "Why you bring this?" No, I put it, and after 3 days she put it back. It was an old house, the space was a bit limited. But for me, I had enough space. Anyway, so it was beginning. And later on you specify, you qualify, and in history, I was always very good in school. It attracted me, only we had to learn by heart, But the real learning came much later, not what you learn by heart.
Can you talk more about architecture and archaeology and reverse architecture?
I discovered about 20 or 30 years ago, when I gave up to study archaeology instead of architecture. To study archaeology in those days, I had to learn Latin in Europe, Latin or Greek. And that effort I couldn't do it when I was 20 or whatever. And then I gave it up and I continued architecture, luckily. And when I came to Oroville, my nature came to life here. And I saw the first column, the first, I think it was a natural pond, which was filled in monsoon, And there was a pot sticking out, cut half. I said, "What is that pot doing there?" And then I forgot about taking it out. Too much work, climate, heat. And then slowly things built up. Then suddenly during the afforestation in 82, 83, they knew by now, No, it started in 75, when they dug a hole, a soap pit, You dig a hole into a burial. And then they took out a huge sale, a big terracotta urn, which I've not seen, and small little red black ware pots, which we which were found in hundreds. Yeah. And then the things were shown, and they found some metal pieces I've never seen. That was the beginning. And there was a broken pot I put in the motorcycle. And I didn't know about anything about Indian history, I had only a bit, but about this period, I didn't know almost anything. And one time we got the French Institute and I showed them this, then they even also didn't know. And then it became really interesting when the big first discovery was in 82. People called me, they hit the crowbar on the topsoil on granite. They hit granite, that means before planting a tree they put loose soil and maybe compost a bit to plant the tree. And I said, granite, it doesn't exist here. So I went there, cleaned it with a brush, and it was granite. I said, it's... then there was first excavation, no excavation technique, no idea about what's about. And yeah, and then in the middle of the heat. Now we have trees, forests. This was in 83. You could see easily from here Matrimandi, or Baranivas could see from all around. And then the heat, you know, and then took an umbrella. We removed with three workers in the Matrimandi, the top soil and a big granite slab as big as the table. And then I didn't know what it was. Then there must be something below. So, just without technique or without anything, you dig a hole 1 meter in the ground just to see, and then a normal umbrella over me. It's hot, no? And then I moved under the slab, and there was something around, but which wasn't a pot, a pot of this size. And then I moved further, a little bit further, because as long as my hand could reach the object. And then I realized there was another round, and it was sarcophagus. There was a big discovery. Sarcophagus, you know the name?
Mm.
It's a huge, standing on legs either, or a huge, like a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
But because this is a secondary burial, it's not an original burial, when the people died 2,000 years ago, they put the dead body in the open. And you know what happened when you put a dead body? Smell attracts the animals, vultures, jackals, everything who eats the dead rotten flesh. And many insects. And that was a way, and after 6 months a ceremony was held, and probably where they put an urn with their pots in it, tools, agriculture tools, martial tools, swords, depends. And yeah, and depends on the area, also beads, tiny little gold beads. That's all. Nothing written about it, only the beginning of early Brahmi, sort of graffiti.
So was it pre-Hinduism? This?
You see, Hinduism had grown out of this place. The term Hinduism is only 200 years old. But now we talk about Hinduism. Before, it was a natural religion with the god and goddesses, the worship created by the nature. Yeah. See, for example, one of what I call the king and queen's burial, we found in the, what I call them, just to give a name, we found Trishuls here. In the queen one. And in the, but totally mixed up, yeah, put down, dumped into the ground, totally unknown in Europe. When they put something into the ground, they put it with honor, with dedication and respect. Here probably they were drunk, and the way they dumped it into the ground, pieces were broken across each other, iron implements. Yeah, there was a difference. So when the sarcophagus was dug up, and I realized there was pottery around, I said, and I was myself alone. I had just a scraper, no tools, nothing. no means of sunshade, nothing. And then I said, I can't do it. It's first of all too hot. And the shards, when you take up a shard, again that shard breaks up into a three or four parts. Such a weak firing. Yeah, it's terracotta. And especially, and the soil is hard when it's dry, and when it's wet, yeah, the pottery gets wet and it breaks like a biscuit, a Britannia biscuit, you know, Mary biscuits, you put in a hot tea. Yes.
So
reverse architecture. Then I realized, no, I was a qualified architect. I had projects here in Oregon. On top, I had these findings. So I had to spare time because there was a passion and a heavy interest in it, especially in the excavation technology, how do you take it out. But totally unknown, never nobody to tell you, nothing. I just simply started and... Yeah, and the first thing was when I had the first pot taken out in my hand, and I didn't know at that time about the age. Probably I knew already. I can't. The reverse architecture is to build up, and archaeology is to rebuild. Rebuild means to explain. Try to find out from the typology of the pottery, the dating, then the way they put it, etc. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no system in 40 years that they can say, ah, they put it this way, it must be there also. No, every burial is different. So it was a totally freedom of burial. Most probably they had an official rites. Now normal Hindu rites change from place to place, but the rite is similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it must have been in these periods also. So reverse is reconstructing and... Or in Chennai or... Yeah. So there are differences, but marriages they are.
Yeah, but they go hand in hand.
So they handle it locally, there were no shastra for to do it exactly that way, like we may have been in Europe, or more not strict, because the church had a control. You don't have a control here. The control is done by the people themselves, from their heart, from their tradition. Yeah. That's why it's the Hinduism is a living religion. Yeah. Yeah, the others are manufactured. Islam, Christianity, is all manufactured for me.
I wanted to ask, so since you started in 84, right?
Do what?
You started archaeology.
Yeah, really in 83.
83.
It started, yes.
So could you just tell us about your findings since then?
Yeah, for example, it was at when we found a huge granite slab. It's still lying in the near Matre Mandir, full of trees. The family lives close to it. There was a sarcophagus of that size, a sarcophagus there in the store. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there were pots around. And then in my innocence and helplessness, we informed the archaeological survey in Chennai. And they came, maybe to have an idea of Oregon, they came here for 3 or 4 weeks, excavated in a manner, but it's an elite. You cannot participate in that. Yeah, because it's a government, they have their rules. See, even we called them, we were not allowed even to take a photograph. I said, no, I'll take photograph, it's our place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's no communication with the people. Yeah. So they took it out, took the sarcophagus to Chennai in 100, 200 parts, small parts, bigger parts. And it was in 86, 6 years later, they informed us, you can come and pick up the sarcophagus. Mm-hmm. I said, we get our sarcophagus back. It was the first big thing. No? And then we went there, we got a free trip from our airline because we had to pay for Chennai, going back. And then I saw the sarcophagus was in five parts. I thought it was a complete thing. As I've seen in the ground, it was complete in the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but broken up because of dry earth, wet earth, and roots enter. I said, my God, five parts. Okay, but we have. We took it, and my office was there. Large enough, 100 square meter, and enough place to exhibit and put things and use as a workshop. And then I made a scaffolding to the bottom, the scaffolding inside, scaffolding outside, because it didn't fit. There was a gap of 10 centimeter. What do you do? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
So, put something in.
Yeah, how do you do? You have to break it and get it together. With scaffolding means bricks you can shape to a certain curvature.
And mold it.
Yeah? And then find it, it needs to be supported, and then we glued it with Fevicol. Yeah, and then we give an inner lining. So that's why. So that was the first object alone by the ASI. But I tell you frankly, nobody cares for it. If we let the sarcophagus disappear, yeah, nobody will come with the sarcophagus.
Okay. Where is this sarcophagus?
We shift now everything there, okay, where you have been. I hope this will happen this week. Then we have only got one place to go.
And that will be the museum?
Not the museum, store.
Okay.
Museum, I thought it's a different project. People have no idea. I mean, the logistics to keep it running. Yeah, and there are offers, but first cash. Because you cannot earn money with that, and it has to be supported by government or private, and I don't see any hope. Now, as it happened here in the Matrimony Triangle, for 1 year I tried to get back to the governing funding, yeah? And nothing.
So, how did you, when you started excavating, you did it pro bono, you just did it by yourself, but you got some government funding in the middle?
No, the government funding is only in the last 5 years.
Okay.
Because we had a secretary who was supporting it consciously. We have Italian, German archaeologists here. And we got our best compliments. He said, we don't do it better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my assistant, whom I'm training since 17, 18 years now, he got 2 times to Germany for a training there,
mm-hmm,
and under their discipline.
So the government has an issue with you not being a real archaeologist, but they're not stopping you either?
No, even the secretary arranged. Mm-hmm. We have a governing board. You heard about that,
mm-hmm,
no? They said, if you want to continue, you have to get an excavation license from the Archaeological Survey. Okay, they have their forms, and they have to be without my name because I'm a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't mind, provided the work gets it done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, finally, after 4 visits of our secretary to Delhi and 20 phone calls, we got the license lasting 1 year, and in that period we worked. But for the continuity, you have to apply again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was no funding. Or what do you do with a license with no funding? And the money goes to the people. I do it voluntarily. I'm not earning anything. Yeah? Because I like to do it. I cannot see things getting spoiled or rotten by the ignorance or innocence of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I come from a place where it's not so. Yeah, so, and the whole, I think the whole of South India, you have a lot of what we call megalithic sites. Megalith means big stone, where they move big stones,
mm-hmm,
for that purpose. And I would say simply, just to give you a figure, 50% of the archaeological sites which are in the ground, you can't see. falls prey to development. They come nowadays with a GCB and overnight everything is gone and you can see. But have you ever big stones of a similar kind which have been transported from nearby, you could say there was something. Yeah, in our case there are the circles you have seen. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You have been there?
What do Orwellians think about your findings?
And people Orwell are interested.
And the committee, and the council, sorry.
First of all, or what we call the our planning department, you know, these town planning, development council like this, it is inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the way I present it. And this in over officially 30, more than 30 years, because the planning cannot be done according to the model. You have seen the Orville model,
mm-hmm.
which exists since 50 years almost.
The master plan.
Yeah, because the archaeological area covers 60 acres in about 2,000 acres of the township. So many, yeah, this is an, and these are the oppositions, you know, and for the most of the years you have to really meddle through, and if the Matrimandi Triangle had been an object of discussion with concerned groups, it wouldn't have come. I would have spent in many meetings and different opposed by the town planning, yeah, because it's not in the plan. For me, the town planning, they work on a fossil. Yeah, fossil, it can be 2 million years old. Yeah, and Orville is a living thing, permanently changing, and the forces outside are developing faster than the inside of Orville. And but this is our heritage, handed over by the early population who lived here. Not here, but nearby. Because there's no village here. Yeah? Because of the burial ground. So these are the complications, and yeah, in the beginning when you have the first pots and urns, oh, we make a museum. And we had a small museum about 20, 30 square meter over here. Yeah, and then there was the functioning Kalakendra was opened, and then it was there for 20 years. Only two showcases, and then you have to clean it, you have to dust it. Perspective of what art is, yeah, and especially in Auroville. For me, Auroville is a kindergarten, yeah. Kindergarten where sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're unlucky, whether you know something, yeah. And Auroville has a capacity for everything. Even now, but experts are invited from outside. We don't need. We know how to do it. To actually accentuate the fossil, you know the fossil by now, mm-hmm. yeah, and what to do with it. That's why I'm opponent to that scene, and I'm ignored. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. My backbone are the archaeological substance. It's the heritage, and the Auroville Tamilians. They appreciate, but no push, you know, it's Tamasic. Yeah? They like it when you tell them, they're very nice and friendly, but there's no support. You don't feel the support at least.
And this new building is just going to be a store for all the things that you found.
Yeah, but it's not a museum. I have a lock.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come every 3-4 weeks, or there's a person who's interested. Said nothing new. Or you hire a person, pay, you know. I want to spend my time in it. What I've done for 40 years. You know? And I'm telling always the same. But I'm telling you, nothing new. It contains cairn circles. Yeah? Each cairn circle is a burial of somebody. And about the size of the burial, you can figure out the person was rich, not in terms of money. There was no money in those days. Only barter, you know, exchange. And to get these lime rocks of this size, 5 kilometers away, they had the transport. And where you see the granite slabs, the scap stones, they come 15, 20 kilometers away. That means you need some money to pay for the trip. So the first discovery was when the first telephone cable was laid, and I was already alert whenever people start moving here in ground channels, oh, we check, whether they touch, and it comes by shards, yeah, or limestone, which you don't find here, only a little bit further. So when they put the first telephone line, and the line went over lime rocks, the trench was this big, and there's a lime rock and a telephone cable. The lime rock there, you just figure out, and by chance, you make a circle around, by chance, because you don't know how big is the circle. Yeah, it was a cairn circle. And that was the first one. All intact. Mm-hmm. And this was in 88. I got funding from Auroville institutions, etc., from INTAC, you know INTAC? Indian heritage, we have it all over India. Not a very powerful institution, but they gave me 5,000 rupees. So we excavated in 2 or 3 months. I kept architecture students working with me. I suddenly came to know that they want to put up a scheme. I know the whole area is affected with these things, only I don't know how. They want to put up a sculpture, a big sculpture there, and the sculpture needs a foundation. Mm-hmm. That means when the foundation, they go into the ground. I said, before that happening, I want to excavate the whole thing. And I got funded by a Dutch organization who funds a lot here in Auroville. And they spent 2 lakh, well, they funded for that purpose. Yeah, we found immediately so much under the surface, the first lime rock. And in a few days, we saw the huge circle, it's the biggest right now. Mm-hmm. There was no question of park then. And when we continued further, another cairn circle, smaller size. Now we have 13 in that spot. Mm-hmm. And the idea came, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. Now to preserve it, and we closed the road which went through, because the park cannot allow cars to go, or even motorcycles. Cycles, yes. And then to develop for a park. Yeah. And we just got, I got promised last year in September, there were 3-4 burials to be done still. We got that money, and another 6 lakhs for this year is stopped. Usually they give a month before the big money comes from Delhi. No? Foundation done the law. I'm in the middle of the work. So we need another 3.5 lakh to make a park that no car came in. We make certain blockages. But why a park? It is very simply to make people aware, and this is an open air park. You can sit on it, you can make picnic on it. Indians like picnic, you know, and yeah. Same time there would be a tree language board explaining what's about. And the whole green forest area is all archaeological sites, you know.
And Aurovillians were supportive of this, right?
Because you did. Yeah, they. A lot of traffic. I agree, but no accident. Sometimes people face the awful and then they pass by. Accident. Yeah. Maybe it's not an item, you may need a roundabout. Yeah, which is clear. Yeah, and then you have a park, and I would consider, to my knowledge, it's the first archaeological park in India. You have a lot of archaeological sites. Mm-hmm. Yeah, India is full. But for that period, you have only the sites, neglected, totally undeveloped, still natural, untouched. They are Mysore, Karnataka. But not elevated like this for people to know. It is missing, and you have a lot. We made a research here 10 years ago. We got little money to send my assistants on a TVS, go around. He has spent 2-3 weeks on a TVS. He took a friend, go into the village, inquire whether there is something like this. He came to 70 places, only in 15 kilometer or over, 70 places. And I tell you that people couldn't remember anymore. Then 30% destroyed. There was only 15 or 20 places which were still more or less intact. The rest all gone. I mean, you can develop the area, but not by GCV and dump it somewhere. And they put jewelry in it also, not heavy jewelry which you exchange in marriages, not like this. Yeah, with gold-plated beads, beads produced in carnelian. You know carnelian, the red bead? It's an Indian.
I think the small one, right?
No, it can be big also.
Okay.
It's reddish. It's an Indian semi-precious.
Okay. Yeah,
common, very common. Or imported one. We found a necklace, not like you wear ready-made in a shop, in 2 cubic meters of soil, which you have to sieve in a mida sieve, in water, to catch all the beads. They are sometimes so small. In the beginning I did myself, then I realized the women working in the excavation are much faster. They have good eyes. Yeah, that's the purpose of a park, and let's see. I'm confident if the money doesn't come, I take my architectural fee from this building here, and we finish it, and then I say...